Chase and Big Joe broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, and I am very excited about our next guest. And Joe, I will let you do the honors.
Thank you. For five seasons, he just wreaked havoc in the National Football League. For the Tennessee Titans, one of the most beloved players in this city is ever seen. Let's welcome to the show Kyle VandenBosch. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Keep us up to date. What are you doing now?
Little of everything. I'm coaching. I have twin boys. They're sophomores in high school now. I'm coaching at their high school. I was special teams coordinator last year. I also work as a strength coach at their high school. I coach a little of everything. I also have an 8-year-old son. I just finished up a flag football season with his team. I do game day radio with the Arizona Cardinals. I do pregame, halftime, postgame call-in. And then I do it's a biweekly podcast. I'm kind of on a rotation. And then I also just do spots here and there with some of the local radio as well.
So it sounds like you have about 13 part-time jobs.
That's right. You guys are today, because free agency is so crazy, you're the first of four shows I have to do today.
All right, well, good. We're glad we're number one, Kyle. Awesome. Hey, take us back to we'll talk about your career for the Titans here, but I remember when you signed with the Lions after you left the Titans here in the free agency period, and you know, a lot of Titans fans were upset that you were gone, obviously, but what was that like, you know, back then, hitting the free agency market after your nice career here in Tennessee?
Yeah, so I hit the free agency market for about 30 seconds. Back then, there was no tampering period, but as you know, there was some kind of back-channel conversations that always occurred between agents and teams. And so at the time, free agency started at midnight. I had a cup of coffee. I was just going to kind of sit tight. I knew a couple of teams were interested. Midnight struck. I was at my house in Nashville, and at about 12:01, I got a phone call from Jim Swartz. He said, "Hey, I'm in your driveway. Can I come in?" At that point, I turned my phone off. Sat and talked with him about the Lions, about how he wanted to build the team, about what he thought they had and what they could do, and how I would fit into that team and help build a culture in his second year there and with the Lions. I was sold. After we finished that conversation, I spoke to my agent. I said, get the deal done. And they negotiated within a couple hours. The deal was done. So it was a pretty painless and easy free agency wait for me.
Talking to Kyle VandenBosch, former Titans defensive lineman here on the Chase and Big Joe show. And I look back at those days. You and Albert Haynesworth were so good together, and obviously other guys on that D-line too, but you know, that 1-2 punch, why did it work so well with you complimenting each other?
Yeah, I mean, look, there was a lot that went into that. It was me, it was Albert. You know, at times we had Javon Kearse, Tony Brown, Antoine Odom, Travis LeBoy. You know, Dave Ball was a part of that. Jacob Ford, we had some guys, and we, as the defensive line, we set the culture. And I continue to give a lot of credit to the turnaround of my career after 4 years in Arizona, the turnaround in a number of players' careers to Jim Washburn and the culture that he set and the attitude that he brought. And you know, I don't know if we were always the most dominant defensive line, but we took a lot of pride in being the toughest. And we, as much as we wanted to, you know, go out there and dominate, we just wanted to beat people up. And, you know, the year we started out 10-0, finished 13-3. I always talk about one of the kind of hidden factors about how dominant we were and how physical we were, really on both sides of the ball. Teams that played us that season, I think they were like 1-15 the next week. So we beat teams up so bad, just physically dominated teams, that it was difficult for them to get back to work and recover and be able to go out and win the next week. And that just shows how tough we were. A bit of a throwback kind of style of play, But we really got after teams. And, you know, it, in today's world, today's NFL, it's a little different. You know, we were able to quarterbacks would throw the ball. We were still able to take two steps and drive them to the ground. And now with a lot of the rule changes and protecting quarterbacks and not allowing as many late hits, you know, I don't know if our group would be quite the same.
You know, as we sit here and we talk about Brian Callahan coming in as the new head coach of the Titans, and he's put his staff together, and then obviously now with free agency and what the personnel is going to look like in the draft, you know, that's the conversation. But you mentioned Jim Washburn. You had him on the defensive side, on the defensive line. Mike Munchak was on the other side coaching the O-line. Everything starts in the trenches. I mean, how unique is it to see a Hall of Fame player coach the O-line, a Hall of Fame caliber guy in Wash coaching the D-line, and that's how everything got built with those Titans teams? I mean, I just don't feel like you see that as much anymore with two guys like that that can make such a difference.
No, you're right. And I was fortunate, we were fortunate to have those two coaches. And, you know, everybody was asking me about who my favorite coach was, and I love Jeff Fisher, and I love the way he ran the team. And what he did is he assembled a tremendous staff and let them coach, let their personalities come out and run their groups. And you know, you talk about how our team was built and how the strength of our team was the trenches. And I still, you know, today's NFL is different. You know, everybody wants to accumulate talent. Everybody wants to get speed. Everybody wants athletes. And that's kind of the way the game has gone. And that's the direction most teams are going. But I still believe if you want sustainability, if you want to continually compete for the playoffs, if you want to make deep runs in the playoffs, teams have to be built inside out. You've got to start with the offensive line. You've got to start with the defensive line. You've got to be able to win in the trenches. It doesn't matter who you have at cornerback. If the quarterback can sit back there and pat the ball and have time to throw it, you know, you can't cover for 3 or 4 seconds against these elite wide receivers. If you can't stop the run, you know, it's still some of the old axioms are true. If you can't stop the run, you can't stop anything. So you've got to be stout. You've got to be good on the defensive line, and same with the offensive line. I mean, in spite of it, you know, there's been a shift since I played to, you know, it being an explosive passing game, spread teams out, you know, make defenses cover every blade of grass. You still have to have balance. You still have to be able to run the ball. You still have to be able to pick up crucial third and shorts, fourth and shorts. You know, I still think that as unappealing as it looks to the average fan, as unexciting as it is to draft a guard in the second round or pick an offensive tackle in the first round or get a run-stopping defensive tackle that's only in on first and second down, that's how teams should be built. And then you can go and you can supplement, you can find those elite athletes that are game changers and can make a difference. But if you want sustainability, you've got to build teams inside out and have big physical dudes in the trenches.
We're talking to former Titans player Kyle VandenBosch of the Chase and Big Joe Show. Kyle, what would the 2007-2008 Kyle VandenBosch player enjoy about the 2023-2024 NFL right now?
Well, I love the sport, period. It doesn't matter how much it changes. There's always a spot for a guy that does things the right way, that's always you know, a first-in, last-out guy, a guy that brings a physical presence, a guy that brings energy. So as much as the game changes, you know, there's always place in this league for physical players. I still love – watching the NFL, I'm a huge fan. I love looking at, you know, some of the things that not everybody looks at. You know, the game changes, but in the end, it always comes back to the fundamentals. Like I said, being physical, being able to block, being able to tackle. You know, in the end, it's still, you know, the best team sport on the planet, but it's about winning your one-on-one. It's about lining up across from the man in front of you and either, you know, physically dominating him or outlasting him or outsmarting him. And, you know, the game of football, as much as it changes, will always be that. It'll be about, you know, I want it more than you, and I'm willing to sacrifice more than you, and you need to stop me. So, you know, I would still love today's game. You know, it's a, in the end, football is still about, to me at least, it's still the gladiator sport. And when you strap that helmet on and you step across those white lines, it's about trying to impose your will on the guy lined up across from you.
Amen. I mean, beautifully said. Is there one game for a Titan that stands out to you? And I'm going to bring up one that I'll never forget was the 2000 game. You guys played the Carolina Panthers. David Carr was at quarterback. And, Kyle, I actually felt sorry for David Carr because y'all hit him so many times that I actually thought he might die on the field. I mean, you guys punished him that game, sacked 7 times, hit about 20 times. But is there one game for you that stands out more than any other?
Yeah, so I'm terrible with years. I don't remember what year it was, but I remember, you know, the Colts and Peyton Manning. It was just we could not get over that hump. And in Nashville, you know, it was late in the game. We had a lead, and Peyton Manning had the ball in his hands. And typically when that happens, he finds a way to win. He just always had an answer for us to a degree. We couldn't figure him out. You know, came with pretty simple game plans. And because as much as you try to disguise things, you can never disguise and confuse Peyton Manning. He always knew what was coming. He knew where you were blitzing from. He could read, your coverages. And, we finally, he had the ball in his hands. It was 3rd and long. And I said that, you know, I'm about to be on SportsCenter, and I got the sack, ended the drive. We got the win and clinched the division, and that was a huge win for our team to finally beat Peyton Manning led Colts team.
Oh, I think that might have been the 2006 season when Baronis hit that field goal to win the game.
Yes.
Yes, real sir. Quick, Kyle, I tell people all the time, one of my favorite things ever from practice and over there at Two A Days, it was hot and everything, was something you did in 2007 I'll never forget, and you've probably forgotten about it, but it was 11-on-11, and Chris Henry broke a long run, like 80 yards. But about the 10-yard line, he started walking. And out of the corner of my camera, I see you just full-on sprinting. And about the 5-yard line, you hit him and knocked the ball out of his hands, and it goes out of the end zone. Right? Even Fisher was like, what the hell? And you stand up and you say, finish every run, and you sprinted back to the other end of the practice field. And I think half of us, we should have done it, started like applauding, like, that's how you play football. I know you don't remember that, Kyle, but it was a hell of an effort during practice to tell this guy, always finish. It was fantastic.
Yeah, see, I knew what I was, and I knew what I had. And the one thing I could do was hustle more than anybody else. I could outwork everybody else on the practice field. You know, that is one big change that has happened is the game is more geared toward athletes. You don't hit as much in practice. I don't think teams practice as hard. But in the end, I knew that, look, you know, going back, even I was not the best pass rusher in the league, but most of my sacks came late in the first half, late in the second half, when nobody else could dig deep and didn't have anything left. And so I had to practice every day like it was a game. I had to finish every play like it was a game. And that was the value I added to the team. That was what I could give back to the team. It wasn't necessarily my 40 time. It wasn't how much I could bench press. It wasn't, you know, a full arsenal of pass rush moves. But if you let up in your technique at any point in the game, I was gonna beat you. And if you got tired, I would not allow myself to get tired. And you know, it's something I took pride in. The only thing I ever feared, I never feared a player in the NFL, no matter how much bigger he was, how much stronger he was than me. I feared walking away from the game of football knowing that I didn't give it my all. And the day I got called into the office by the GM of the Detroit Lions and said that they were going to release me, I knew I was done, and I turned the next page and had no regrets. And you know, that's something that I'm very proud of. Is you know the Titans were a small market. Detroit was not the best team on the planet. When I was with the Cardinals, I had injuries, but any teammate I ever played with will look back and say, nobody played harder, nobody practiced harder than Kyle VandenBosch, and that's something that I'm proud of.
No doubt about it. Kyle, it's been great catching up with you. I do have to ask, because a lot of people have asked, do you have the red contacts in for this interview? I think that's important, but people wanted to know.
No, I do not. I wish they stopped making them, and I don't have any anymore. But I wish I did. Those things were great.
Such an iconic look for you. Hey, thanks so much for doing this. Good luck with the rest of your interviews today and everything that you're doing with your 13 jobs. But really appreciated it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Kyle Vandenbosch, KVB, joining us here on the show. Really cool to catch up with him. Those red contacts were so intimidating, even if you're just watching the game.
Well,
like, you glare into those eyes and go, oh, no.
Well, they, you know, if they're on us, people are like, oh, look at those boneheads. But on Vandenbosch, where he's dropping you on your butt at 10 yards back, yeah, that was fun catching up with him.
Well, and remember, there was a shot one time. I forgot where they were playing, but it was cold. It was really, really cold. And they show him with his helmet off and steam's coming off his head because he's so hot and it's so cold. And he's got those red contacts in, and it's just like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, man, that was fun.
Well, we appreciate him joining us. Have more coming, including birthdays next on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.